I would invite you to turn in your pew Bibles. We're still studying the Lord's Prayer, but I would invite you to turn to Matthew 26, beginning with verse 36. That's on page 832 of your pew Bibles. If you want to follow it along, I encourage you to follow along. Matthew chapter 26, beginning with verse 36. There, as we consider that theme from the Lord's Prayer, that third petition, your will be done. And we'll hear that in Jesus' prayer. Matthew 26, verse 36. This is the word of God. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "So, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. And then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Amen to this reading of God's holy word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand through the ages. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you that you use your word, Father, to comfort us, to convict us, to point us to Christ. Thank you that you use your word to grow us in our faith in Christ. That you use your word to cause us to sink deeper roots into Christ, to bear gospel fruit for your glory and praise. Pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work in each of our hearts and minds, helping us to understand the truth of your word, but then to live it by your grace and for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In a bygone era, it was common for believers to close their personal correspondence with these two letters, D period V period. Those were the initials for Deo Volente, the Latin phrase, which roughly translated would be "God willing." As you wrote your letter and told your friends or family about your business plans, your travel itinerary, your daily schedule, you were always aware that you lived before the face of God. You had a gracious awareness that a sovereign God ruled over every detail of your life, the big and the small details, the major details, the seemingly mundane details of your life. In essence, when you signed your correspondence with those two letters, D, V, Deo Volente, It almost could be considered a prayer. You know, Lord God, may your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I've written down what I think is my will, and I trust and pray that it's your will. But ultimately, Lord, may your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And our Lord God does indeed have a gracious and a loving plan, a loving will for all of his creation, for his beloved church, for each of his redeemed children. And it's vital for us as followers of Christ to always be praying that prayer. And especially that petition, Lord, may your will be done. May your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. For in prayer, we learn to fully trust God's gracious will. Well, what does it mean to fully trust in God's gracious will? Well, what does that look like? And here, looking at this passage of Scripture, Matthew 26, and then other portions of the Lord's Prayer, three truths here. First, we'll see our sinful rebellion against God's will. Then there is a scriptural revelation of God's will. And then finally, there ought to be a spiritual readiness to do God's will. We begin, though, with our sinful rebellion against God's will. You know, again, to put this in context, if refresh your memories, refresh mine, we're looking at the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. And the way we've been studying it in Matthew 6, there are some preliminary verses, and there is a preface to the Lord's Prayer. There are the petitions, six petitions, and basically you can break down the six petitions into two groups. The first three that deal with the glory of God, and then the next three, which are dealing with gracious requests by us as believers, and then finally there'll be a note of praise. You know, but this morning we're looking at this readiness to trust God. Lord, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, what are we praying for? John MacArthur summarized it well with these words: when we pray, thy will be done, we are praying, first of all, that God's will become our own will. But there's a challenge here for us. Because of the fall, because of indwelling sin, we rebel against God's will. There is an indwelling selfishness in each of our hearts. Before salvation, but truth be told, it's still there even after salvation. You know, since Adam and Eve's fall into sin in the garden, we foolishly resist doing God's will. We choose to eat the forbidden fruit instead of rejecting Satan's sinful ploys. In many ways, we're like Israel in the wilderness. You know, God graciously, providentially led them out of bondage in Egypt, parted the Red Sea, provided the manna, the pillar of cloud and fire. And yet we read this in Exodus chapter 32. Moses is on Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments. What are God's people doing? We read this, Exodus 32, verse 6, "And they rose up early the next morning, offered burnt offerings, brought peace offerings." In other words, they went through the religious motions. But what happened next? "And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." Play has the idea of sexual sin. So in one breath, they were praising God, but then in the next breath, they were committing sins against the holy God. That sin of indwelling selfishness. Unless you think, well, that's just Old Testament, give you one New Testament example. Jesus and his disciples were on the road to Capernaum. And Jesus, when they arrived at Capernaum, this is in Mark chapter 9, Jesus asked them what they were discussing. And he knew full well what they were discussing. He knew they had been arguing about who would be the greatest among them. And Jesus then lovingly reminded them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. Mark 9, verse 35. You know, we, and use that pronoun deliberately, we still sinfully desire position, power, the passing pleasures of this world. So when we pray, your will be done, we're confessing our sinful selfishness. But we're also crying out to God for salvation, our immediate need for salvation. You know, again, the Lord's Prayer is a prayer for believers. You know, I know that the Lord's Prayer is recited in all sorts of churches, recited by all sorts of sports teams. Son went to a public high school and they recited the Lord's Prayer before every football game. I know it's recited by all stripes of sinners, almost like it's a lucky charm. If we say the Lord's Prayer, then the Lord's going to watch over me and protect me. But it's really a prayer for the redeemed children of God. You know, those who are trusting in Christ and Christ alone for our salvation. When we pray, your will be done, we acknowledge the train wreck of our own sinful wills and heartily admit our need to be saved. You know, and that's a good place to be before a holy God. You know, for an unbeliever, you know, if you were to pray this prayer, it means that you are crying out to God for your salvation. You would be crying out to God almost with these words in mind, or be thinking about these words. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Lord, may your will be done. You know, when believers pray this prayer, we would be praying things like these. Make it personal. Lord, protect me from my sinful desires. Lord, preserve me from doing Satan's will. Lord, may I always remember the price that was paid for my salvation with your sacrificial death for my sins on the cross. Jesus, may you steadfastly strengthen me to live by your grace and for your glory. We're praying for God's will, knowing that it's a struggle. Give you an example, a personal example. I don't like to do these too often. Two reasons. One, I'm afraid you'll see my sinful weakness, and the Lord knows I'm aware of them. And then secondly, at this stage of life, I'm afraid what stories I have and I haven't told. And you can remind me, just say, Dean, you've told that story before, don't tell it again. Be like my children. You know, one of the things, I learned about God's will was, well, I've learned about it on countless occasions in my life. And one of those was my first ministry job as a youth director, then when I was praying about, considering, wanting to ask Lynn to marry me, wanted to make sure I was doing God's will. accepting God's call to come here to Hope Presbyterian Church in Opelousas. But the first time was when I was at the end of my junior year in high school, beginning to consider colleges, and my parents were talking some with me, but I was the fourth of fifth children, and always was under the radar, and came down to two schools that I was considering, and was torn between the schools, and so I began to talk with people that I trusted, Christian friends, counselors, a host of pastors, and asked some questions about, well, how do you figure out God's will? Here's my dilemma. What do you think I should do? And basically got these answers. Study scripture, pray about it, seek God's face, and he will guide you. He will direct you. And to finish out the story, the Lord led me to Gordon College Christian School, you know, and it wasn't that I, at that point, was thinking about ministry, quite the opposite. You know, the soccer coach said, well, if you come to Gordon, we've got a good program, you can start playing right away. It was near the ocean, near the Atlantic Ocean. That's where I met Lynn. That was in God's providence. And I did graduate. Thank the Lord for that. The Lord was good. But I can remember this. I'll conclude the illustration with this account. One of the people that I talked to about considering God's will was my Sunday school teacher, Betty Warden, Ms. Betty Warden. A gracious, godly woman. Saw her last June when I visited my home church. And she had very simple counsel. I've already shared a little bit. She just said, pray about it. Seek God's face. Make a decision. And then she had some great counsel. Don't ever look back. Don't ever second guess God's will. And the Lord has shown himself faithful time and time again. So the Lord knows our sinful rebellion against his will. You know, there's always a riptide pull to rebel against God's will. And that doesn't stop when you're trusting in Christ. You know, Satan is still whispering, maybe shouting in your ear, do this, do that. Trying to steer us, to cause us to detour from God's will. And it's vital for us as Christians to always be praying, Lord, may your will be done, you know, in my life. But then we, even as we pray that, we can even now begin to rejoice and rest in Christ's conquest over sin, over Satan. So that's the first truth about trusting God. The second truth is the scriptural revelation of God's will. There in the bulletin, you don't have to say it together with me this morning, but I've been including the questions and answer from the Westminster Shorter Catechism, a wonderful summary of our faith, and the question 103 there in your bulletin is this. What is the third petition? Third petition in the Lord's Prayer. And the answer is this. In the third petition, which is, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we pray that God by his grace would make us able and willing to know, obey, and submit to his will in all things as the angels do in heaven. You know, we're praying that we would know God's will. And how can we know God's will? We can know God's will because God reveals his will to us. He reveals his will to us in Scripture. You know, Scripture is saturated with verses that proclaim the gracious sovereignty of God. Our triune God is sovereign over all of his creation, over all of his creatures, over all governments, over all history, over each of our hearts and homes and lives. You know, and God reveals its will. You know, it's said that God's will is the final cause of all things. You know, he knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows when a sparrow falls. You know, sometimes theologians talk about, and this is not meant to baffle you or to confuse you, but to cause you to think more deeply about the things of Scripture, but they often talk about the two wills of God. Not that they're conflicting wills, but two parts of God's will. And the first part is the secret will of God, those things that are known only to God. Scripture speaks about it in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever and ever, that we may do all the words of this law. So there is the secret will of God, but then there is the revealed will of God. You know, God shows us his will in his word. You know, in Sunday school, we've been going through Psalm 119. Psalm 119, 105 is, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You know, the Lord guides us by his revealed will, by the truth of his scripture. And God's will is chiefly discerned in Holy Scripture. This is the way 2 Timothy 3:16 portrays Scripture, a glorious verse. "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work." You know, God reveals his will to us. And just as a side application, there's an implied condemnation of all unbiblical ways of trying to determine the future, whether it's through astrology, wanting your horoscope read, palm reading, reading entrails, mediums, Ouija boards, and the list could go on. Don't do it. It's against God's will. You might know the future. Satan has a limited glimpse about the future, but it will not be good news. So what is our response to God's revealed will? You know, again, going back to the shorter catechism question, we're praying that God, by his grace, would make us able and willing to know, obey, and submit to his will in all things. You know, that was Jesus' prayer as well. John chapter 4, verse 34, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." You know, "Lord, pray that I would make me able and willing to know your will." You know, it's a step of faith. You have to trust that when you're asking God to reveal his will, that he is a good, gracious, loving, faithful God. "May I know your will." But when you say you're praying to God, "Lord, may I know your will," you're committing yourself to spending time in the word of God. Don't just say, "Lord, may I know your will," you know, as if the Lord's going to drop a rock on your head with a note on it. You know, he reveals his will to us in his word. But then finally, we're praying, "Lord, may I obey your will." You know, when the Lord shows us his will, we don't have that option of saying, "Don't like that, Lord. Let me see what's behind the other curtain." You know, when the Lord shows us his will, we are called to obey his will, to submit to his will. As the angels do in heaven, you know, there's a whole sermon there. You know, how do the angels in heaven obey God's will? They do it swiftly, gladly. J.C. Ryle put it this way: we pray here that God's laws may be obeyed by men as perfectly, readily, and unceasingly as they are by the angels in heaven. You know, but when we're thinking about that scriptural revelation of God's will, I want for us to take a swift look at Jesus' prayer there in Gethsemane. Matthew chapter 26, that portion of scripture that we read this morning. And if you keep sermon notes, preached on this parallel account in Luke chapter 22, preached on it last March the 16th of last year. But a few things for us to note about the will of God, the revelation of God's will, as we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. Jesus fully knew and fully obeyed God's will. Three times in this prayer, Jesus prayed that prayer. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Verse 39. Verse 42. My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. And then again, verse 44. He went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. You know, it's not a prayer we pray once and for all. We continually pray this prayer. Lord, may your will be done. And what was Jesus praying? He was praying, my Father, if it is your will, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as my will, not as I will, but as you will. You know, keep in mind the removal of the cup, and this was the cup of God's holy wrath against sin. And Jesus would drink that cup there on the cross of Calvary. He would become our sin bearer, fully carry the weight of our sins, fully endure God's holy wrath against sins there on the cross. That's why Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For that moment in time, God the Father looked away from God the Son. And Jesus knew that's what he was facing. And so he was praying to his heavenly Father, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. And yet still he humbly submitted to God's will. Not as my will, but your will be done. And I would submit to you that that's the prayer we are all called to pray. Lord, not my will. Don't give me what I think is good for me. But Lord, I want you to give me what you know is best, what's going to be for my good, my growth in grace, and for your glory. You know, here again, God shows himself trustworthy. You know, there's a great new book out on prayer, Tim Keller, Prayer. You'll hear me quoting it a few times in the weeks ahead, but this is what he writes about this part of the prayer. You know, what's God teaching us? And he's teaching us that God is trustworthy. He, that is Jesus, submitted to his Father's will rather than following his own desires, and it saved us. You know, God always shows himself trustworthy. God always shows himself gracious to us, his children. You know, in prayer, Jesus teaches us the painful and precious lessons of knowing, obeying, and submitting to God's will. It's not an easy path to follow. You know, but there's a glorious home for us in heaven. In heaven, we will be perfectly, gladly, joyfully, reverently doing our Father's will. And so I close here with a spiritual readiness to do God's will. Some gracious application for us. You know, as we consider, Lord, what's your will, you know, for my life? What's your will for my marriage, my family, my work, for your church, for all of your creation, for your kingdom work? And even as we pray God's will, keep in mind that one verse from Psalm 40 that we read this morning. Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight to do your will. Your law is within my heart. So what does it mean to delight to do God's will? Five applications. Not quite machine gun fire, but quickly. First, we are to seek to know God's will. You know, it's revealed to us in God's holy word. So there's a need to daily, regularly read God's word. You know, when you say, I don't know God's will, my first question would be to you, are you reading God's word? You know, we need to meditate upon it, to apply his gracious principles to our lives. Seek to know God's will. Secondly, self-denial of our own sinful wills. You know, our God is a jealous God, and so when we're seeking to do our sinful will and seeking to do God's holy, divinely revealed will, we will be the most miserable of all people. You know, here it takes the work of God's Holy Spirit in our life. We're praying that the Holy Spirit would take away our spiritual blindness, along with any desire, sinful desire, for sexual immorality, strife, jealousy, unrighteous anger, drunkenness, just to give a few examples. Seek to know God's will, self-denial of our sinful wills. Third, we submit to God's revealed will. We yield, gladly, lovingly yield to God's holy will. Submit to his will in all things. You know, there's the difficult part. You know, it's not, Lord, I'm going to pick and choose what parts of your will I'm going to do. We submit to God's will in all things. And then we persevere in submitting to God's gracious will, even in the face of sickness, sorrow, and suffering. In fact, the Lord sends those things into our life so that we would be submitting to his will. Fourth, we sing, keeping it with the S's, or we worship, as the angels do in heaven. You know, one of the chief things angels are doing in heaven is worshiping God, singing his praises, surrounding his throne. And so when we pray, Lord, thy will be done, we ought to be gladly, joyfully worshiping the Lord. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones put it this way, the supreme desire of all heaven is to do the will of God, and thereby to praise and worship him. And finally, security. You know, as we pray, Lord, your will be done, you know, there is great security, assurance in praying that prayer. We don't live in a random universe. You know, God has a glorious will in his creation and in salvation as well. And our good and gracious God still guides us. Think in closing about that simple, we call it a children's hymn, but rich theology there. In that hymn, Trust and Obey. Just a portion. While we do his good will, he abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you that you are a gracious God who reveals your will to us. We thank you for your will, your plan to save your children. Lord, to grow us in our grace and knowledge and love for Christ, to deepen our roots in Christ, and to use us to bear gospel fruit. Lord, thank you for your will to bring your beloved children home to heaven one day. But in the meantime, Lord God, we pray that we, as your trusting children, trusting in a trustworthy God who loves us in Christ, pray that we would never fail to pray, your will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.